Chapter 12. As We Have Burned. Zen heard rather than saw Xandu's signal. A gunship on a strafing run screamed out of the darkness and blew a section of wall apart with the last of its missile payload. The explosion turned the night fiery red as the contrails of rockets chased it away. A second detonation erupted moments after the first, smaller and concealed in the slow receding wake of the missile attack. Three crack grenades affixed to the south wall went off simultaneously and tore a fissure in the defenses wide enough for a legionary to pass through. Zen went first, climbing over the V-shaped breach and into the encampment. Smoke and wreckage accrued from the first battle provided thick cover, and the squad was able to advance unseen. After they had progressed only a few feet beyond the threshold, Zen ordered a halt.
"Why do we linger, brother?"
asked Foken, a legionary from Xandu's depleted squad. Ahead at the entrance to the horseshoe-walled encampment, Xandu and the others fought ferociously. Bolters sang a deadly chorus, but the power armor worn by the legions was made to be hardy and bore the brunt of fire from either side. A brutal, attritional stalemate was unfolding. Zen knew it would not last.
"No sense in running off," Zen told the legionary,
but then looked at Tekel.
"This is why you are here, Forgefather. Where is Obek?"
"His armor signature is coming from below us. We have to find a shaft or passage that leads down, something dug by their machines."
"There!"
A legionary named Geron, who fought with a curved sarissa attached to his vambrace, gestured to where a squad of Skitarii were standing guard.
"Under attack, and they hold their position," he said. "They must be protecting something."
Zen clapped his shoulder.
"Not enough protection. Not from us."
By now, the renegades had been fully engaged, focused on the threat at their gate that they saw, rather than the one they didn't in their midst. Zen and the squad stalked through the debris, using the darkness and the distraction of the storm raging above. As they moved, they went fast but took care to stay out of the reflective glow of explosions or the frenzied muzzle flare of bolters. Eventually they reached the guard squad. Zen killed them quickly, dispatching all five of the Skitarii before they could raise an interrogative.
"It's red work,"
muttered Geron in appreciation of the Vigilator's skill.
"Not really,"
Zen replied, showing him the oil-black stain on Dracos. Ignis was much the same, and he wiped them on a dead Skitarii's robes.
"Here,"
said Phocon, standing by the edge of a large hexagonal shaft and using his bolter to gesture down. It was an access chute to the subterranean part of the installation, easily wide enough to accommodate someone wearing power armor. An armored lip delineated it, designed to fold down and form a slope, but the salamander's legionaries could cross it easily enough. The shaft itself had rungs wrought into two of the facing walls, which allowed a steady, if slow, descent. Rheos stood sentry as the others began to make entry. He was not long a fire drake, and as Zen studied the legionary, he wondered if it had been out of necessity more than worthiness that Nomus Raitan had advanced him to such an august rank.
"If they come, I will kill them here,"
Rheos promised Zen, reading the vexillary's body language. Zen nodded to Rheos and considered that their Lord Chaplain on Nocturne knew his business after all.
"Hold as long as you can," Zen told him, "but do not throw your life away needlessly. You have photon flares?"
"I do, brother."
"Drop one in the shaft if you are forced to retreat."
"What if the Vengu dies?"
asked Geron, using an old Themian word for hatchling or youth.
"Then I shall drop two," answered Rheos. "So you know the threat is dire."
Geron laughed, but Rheos kept lookout.
"Well chosen indeed," thought Zen. "You first, brother,"
Zen told Geron, who nodded before he climbed into the shaft.
"You next, Forgefather,"
Zen said to Tekel. He nodded, climbing in after Geron. Zen went next, honoring his promise to Xandu, and Phocan brought up the rear.
"Must be over 500 feet,
uttered Geron farthest down, his voice echoing up to the others as they followed.
487, brother, Tekel informed him.
Vile scanner?
Asked Zen, keeping the pace steady. Below, Tekel shook his head.
Nothing.
And your other augurs?
Again, the tech marine shook his head.
Negative.
Then let us hope our good fortune lasts a while longer,
said Zen, as the bottom of the shaft grew closer with every rung. Xandu crashed down behind an arching wall buttress and waited a few seconds for the fusillade hammering it to ebb. Faisal was right behind him and fired off a snapshot with his bolter before hunkering down too.
I'd say we are holding their attention, Brother Sergeant.
Xandu nodded curtly.
Then let's keep it that way. Zen needs as much time as we can give him.
He fired back, the burst of muzzle flame shining in the chips of bare metal across his armor. Fewer than 30 legionaries remained of the 40 who had made planetfall, and they congregated around the entrance to the encampment. Var held the right flank, having scoured the upper rampart of enemies. Xandu had the left, with the remnants of Obek's squad providing reinforcement to either side. Inroads were slow, foot by bloody foot, but the Salamander's legionaries weren't trying to storm the castle. They just needed to hold long enough for Krask to make planetfall from the Chalice of Fire. So far, they had succeeded in pushing the Sons of Horus into a grim stalemate, as both sides exchanged fire from behind cover.
Are you ready, brothers?
Xandu asked down the vox, and was greeted by a string of affirmatives.
Then give these traitors death!
As one, the Salamander's legionaries broke cover to unleash a combined salvo that forced the renegades back through sheer fury.
Advance! Now! Go!
Xandu roared, charging across the threshold and behind a second tranche of heavy cover. Foot by bloody foot. Hunkering down again at the inevitable return fire, Xandu arched his neck to look up, hoping to see the drop pods, hoping to see the sky burn. The Chalice of Fire was burning. Another vessel in orbit around the planet had attacked them. Long range, a lance volley. The barrage exploded amidships, directly hitting the launch bays. A calculated blow from an unknown aggressor that had struck the Chalice of Fire unseen, undetected, and unprovoked. Emergency crews hurried throughout the deck, trying to douse the flames roaring across the launch bays and haul away the bodies where they could. Krask and his Terminators were watching, unable to make their assault from orbit as planned. They had already cleared away as much of the wreckage caused by the explosion as they were able, their armor now scorched by more than ritual fire. Thanks to their efforts, men and women who might have otherwise lost their lives were still breathing. The Apothecarian, however, had quickly reached capacity. Krask turned off the vox, having just been in conference with Shipmaster Rain.
It wasn't Sons of Horus,
he said aloud to his brothers, his gaze still on the devastation.
Then who? Asked Zaul.
The chaplain looked up at Krask from a kneeling position where he granted peace to one of the injured deck crew caught in the blast.
Mechanicum?
Rain doesn't know. Only that the ship does not match any renegade vessel we have in our archives.
But we were attacked.
Krask nodded slowly, his fist clenching in its power glove.
This is a mess.
Zaul cast his eyes across the dead. Most were servitors, at least.
Mercifully, you had not embarked, or the death count would be much higher, and you, Wyvern, might well have been amongst them. Be thankful to Vulcan for that.
Krask murmured a Vulcan lives, briefly bowing his head and shutting his eyes before focusing back on the disaster.
However long it will take to make it right,
he said to Legionary Wrath, who was returning from speaking with the Tech Marines. This delay has already cost us dear.
Well, they are almost ready, Brother Sergeant. Two launch bays have been cleared. They await only your command.
I give it, snarled Krask, seemingly heavier and deadlier in his warplate as he stamped over to where deck crew were prepping the launch bay. The dead and injured had been removed, along with the wreckage, so the drop pod could be embarked, but the bloodstains remained. Krask could not help but look at them as he entered the teardrop-shaped vessel that would convey him and his brothers to the surface. A second drop pod was being readied alongside for Zaul and a retinue of Terminators.
Whoever is responsible, he promised to Zaul,
one foot inside the drop pod, but yet to enter his harness.
They will burn for this.
as we have burned.
Vulcan's retribution will find them, Kresk, the chaplain replied.
A case, large enough to hold a sword, was maglocked to his belt. His gauntleted fingers brushed against the metal as he stood at the threshold of the drop pod. They trembled slightly, but Kresk did not notice.
It will find them, Sewell told the shadows, but did not see Vulcan waiting for him.
Instead, he heard the alert siren scream loudly, and saw the blistering fire of the second lance blast as the deck was blown half apart.